I need to give a little background to this message today. Back September 18th, Sister Sonia approached me. She was on the homecoming committee this year, her and Brother Henry and a few others. She approached me about preaching for homecoming, Brother Derek, and said, it's right that we have another speaker on homecoming. And before I left that morning, I didn't say yes, didn't say no. I said I'd think about it, pray about it. And before I left that morning, I had a message title on my heart already. The Lord had laid it on my heart. And I knew most of the scripture that I would do. To be honest with you, it wasn't a message I really wanted to preach. Still not really a message I want to preach today. It's a tough message. It's a hard message. And just the title, you'll understand what I'm saying. But little did I know, on September 18th, the upcoming events of the next week, and then the weeks ahead, and in the month ahead, the loss that our church would suffer. So the next Sunday, I just never gave Sister Sonia an answer. I told Brother Derek, I said, I'd really rather hear you preach on homecoming. So Brother Derek preached, and as usual, he did a great job. I stand here. I'm humbled to stand here, to be honest with you. I don't feel the shoes that he feels. He's a great man of God. He knows the Word of God back and forward, and I've been blessed to be under his ministry for as many years as I've been here, and I do appreciate him, and I appreciate what he does for our church as a whole. He's just a great man of God. He exemplifies what a pastor is, and I appreciate him so much. But then he contacted me, I guess it was maybe a week or so ago, maybe 2 weeks ago, I don't remember exactly. And he said, I'm doing a homecoming service. I said, great, a homecoming service. He said, I'd like you to fill in for me. And I didn't give my answer right away again. I went to bed on it that night. He had texted me. And I didn't give him an answer right away. And I prayed about it and thought about it. And I said, and the Lord still had the same message title on my heart, same scriptures on my heart. So I texted him back and said, I'll do it. So I'm going to give you the message that the Lord laid on me. It's not particularly one that I really, like I said, there's some messages that you look forward to preaching, some you don't. This is one that I wasn't really looking forward to preaching, but the Lord just put too many opportunities there. I usually get an opportunity once or twice a year, maybe not once or twice every 2 months here. It just doesn't happen like that. So I figured it was the Lord's will that I do this message, and I'm going to do it as hard as it may be. For you and for me, for that matter. The title of the message is Homegoing. The title pretty much says it all. And it says what we've witnessed over the past month and a half within our church. We've witnessed a lot of homegoing happening in our church the past month and a half. So that's why I really didn't want to preach it, because it's hard for me, it's hard for you. But it's what the Lord wanted me to preach, and I'm going to preach it this morning. If you have your Bibles, turn to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. I'm going to begin reading in verse 5. When you get there, say amen. There. All right. Philippians 2 and verse 5 says this: Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Then in Isaiah chapter 53, and you don't have to turn there. I turn a lot in the Bible sometimes when I do a message, and this happens to be one of those times. Isaiah 53, and beginning of verse 4. I'm going to read a couple of verses there. It says, and this is speaking about Jesus, long before he came to this earth, mind you. But it says this, surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. Father, I thank you for the opportunity that you've given me this morning. Father, I pray that you'd take the words that I speak, and Lord, let it not be me that these folks hear this morning, but let it be strictly out of your word that they feel what you meant when you spoke these words to those that have written these words down. God, I pray that if there's one here today that doesn't know you, or Lord, maybe they've fallen away from you, that through this message they'll learn that they need to come back, or they need to come to you for that salvation that you offer so freely, that you paid for us. God, I pray you take me out of the way. Just let your spirit shine through. I ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, everything in this book is meant to help us, to encourage us, to help us deal with life. And as the title of this says, Homegoing, it helps us to deal with death. Death is just as much as a part of life as being born. There's not a one of us going to get out of here alive unless the Lord comes back and calls us up in the rapture. So we got to be prepared. We prepare for births. We have showers and things of that nature. We prepare for birth, but we need to prepare ourselves, our minds, our hearts, our souls in particular, for death. And that's part of what this book helps us to do, is prepare for all of those things. Why did I read these verses that I read to open up with? Well, I just wanted you to understand that Jesus was 100% man, but he was also 100% God. Why did he do that? Why did he come down? Why did he born, raised up, and then, as it said, humbled himself even to the death of the cross? Why would he do that? Because he needed to feel. You've heard the saying, don't judge somebody until you've walked in their shoes. Guess what? He's walked in our shoes. He's walked in the shoes that we walk in every day of life, from birth right on up to death. He's experienced every bit of it that we've experienced. One thing is about him, though, is he didn't sin in the process. He didn't sin in the process. And, you know, if he would have, I wouldn't be standing here this morning. None of us would be in church this morning. But the simple fact is, he did, and he didn't, all in the same statement. He did come, but he didn't sin. So therefore, he was the perfect sacrifice to be accepted so that our sins could be not just covered up like they did in the Old Testament, but be washed away. I know I've had some deep sins in my life, and I'm glad that those are washed away. Don't have to worry about them anymore. They've all been washed away. Now, that was just the opening statement. Now we're going to get into the text of the message. In Luke chapter 22, going to a very familiar place in the Bible. Luke chapter 22 and verse 39. Of course, I need to set the setting here. Jesus has just instituted the Lord's Supper. It's the night before he's going to be crucified the next day. And we'll pick up in verse 39. And it says, he came out and went as he wont to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him. You see, this was a place that Jesus had been to before. It was a familiar place to him. It was a place where he'd get away and he could have that time. I don't know if you have a place in your home where you get, when you want to pray, when you want to be alone with God, or maybe driving down the road. I don't know where it is. Please keep your eyes open when you're driving down the road and talking to God. It'll help the other folks, you know. But this was a place he'd go to where he could meditate, where he could be alone with the Father. And his heart was heavy this night. You see, he was all man, but he was 100% God. He knew what lay ahead of him. He knew what the next day's events would be. For that matter, he knew that before he ever came here. He knew what the end game was. But he still did it. He still did it. Why did he do it? He did it for us. He did it for you and for me. But he had went to this place. It was across the Kidron Brook. He had traveled there many times before. Verse 40 we'll pick up. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, Pray that ye enter not into temptation. You know, I find that interesting that he said that. You see, you and I don't know what lies ahead tomorrow. Jesus could see, he can see all of our lives. He can see the crossroads that we'll come to. And he's going to give us the right path to take now, I'll tell you this. He's going to point us in the right direction. Now, it's up to us. He gave us something called free will. And we can go this way or we can go that way. We can get off the path. I've done that in my life many times. I'm glad it led me right back to the straight path, to the right path, the one that he laid out for me to begin with. You know how many miles? You know, I got a knee that I'm going to have surgery on the end of this month. You know, I think about that, and I think about all the miles I put on that old knee going around the long way to get back into that straight point. You know how much better off we'd be if we just followed God's will in our life? Amen. There wouldn't be near as many miles. Wouldn't be near as many gray hairs, maybe. I don't know about that. Maybe there'd be some more hair. But, you know, we tend to get off of God's plan and his will in our life, and it's just a stumbling block for us when we do that. If we'd stay on that path, we'd be all right. And he said for us he was going to pray that we pray. He asked them to pray that you enter not into temptation. And then it goes on in verse 41. He was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Now those verses I read to you to begin with, he knew when he came here what he was going to have to do. But how many of us have had something that we knew we were going to have to face, something we knew we were going to have to do at one point in our life? We really didn't want to do it. That's the stuff called flesh. Now, Jesus had flesh on him, remember. He was 100% man. He was 100% God, but he was 100% man, too. He felt things that like we feel without sin, but he still could feel pain, hurt, all the things, happiness. He feels all those things that we feel. And this night, he was heavy. His heart was heavy. He knew what the next day called for, but why would he pray that God let this cup pass from me? You know, I've talked to a lot of folks when they're on their homeward journey. And you know, the one thing that always comes to, that they mention, they always tell me, only reason I hate going is because I'm going to miss my family and my friends. That's the one thing that everybody seems to agree on. You know, we don't agree on anything. But that's the one thing that I've noticed that people always agree on, is they're going to miss their family and their friends. Of course, we miss them. But they miss us too. They miss us too. And they're going to miss us too. You know, the Bible talks about in Revelation that Jesus, or God's going to have to wipe away their tears. You know, I think that's some of the tears that he'll wipe away. When that time comes, when we're all in heaven, those that have been saved, by the way, now this doesn't apply to everybody. If you're not saved, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, that doesn't apply to you. You're not going to make it into heaven. Only by his blood, only by the shedding of his blood and accepting that gift that he gave us, are you going to make it into heaven. But he was 100% man. He didn't want to leave his friends. He was close to them. This was people that he had traveled with for some 3.5 years. He had grown very close to them, as fond to them. Of course, he had family, you know, stepbrothers, stepsisters. He was close to all of them. He loved people in general. He loved us. He didn't ever came here if he didn't love us. But he wasn't looking forward to leaving here. He knew. He knew what lie ahead for him. He knew what heaven looked like. But yet, he wasn't looking forward to leaving his friends here behind. For one, because he knew they would fall into temptation, that they would go astray. And it was hard on him. Then we go on to verse 43. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. You know, Psalm 23 and verse 4, the Bible says this. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Can I tell you something? The child of God never walks alone. I don't care, you know, during that COVID mess, and still going on, I guess, but a lot of people lie in hospital beds alone. The only people that they saw was maybe the doctors or the nurses, and they lie there and they passed without seeing their family, without seeing their friends. But can I tell you this? The Lord Jesus Christ was there with them. We're never alone. The child of God is never alone. Even at your lowest point in life, if you know Jesus as your Savior, you're never alone. He's always there with you. Don't ever think you're alone. And I'm going to tell you something else. If you got a church and a church family like we have here, you're not alone. We're here with you. We love you. We care for you. And we want to do whatever we can to help you. Then in verse 44 it says, and being in agony he prayed and more earnestly, and his sweat was as great drops of blood falling down to the ground. You think it wasn't hard? It was killing him. It was killing him to be leaving his friends and his family, the connections he had made over the past several years, or 33 and a half years of his life that he had made. It was hard. Death is hard. Not only on us, but the one that's going through it. It's hard. Can you imagine Jesus seeing ahead and knowing that he was going to be beaten brutally, mocked, spit upon, ridiculed, and then nailed to a cross, naked before all of the world? But yet he did it. Not my will, but thine will be done, he said. He did it Because he loved us. Because he loved those friends and those family. He loved all of mankind so much that he was willing to give himself for us. And when he arose up from prayer and was come to his disciples, he found them sleeping for sorrow. You know, they didn't understand what was about to happen. But they knew he was down. You know, it's human emotion that when you're hurting, I'm close to you, I'm going to hurt. If you're hurting, I'm going to hurt. That's part of human emotion. That's called caring. And we care for each other. We love each other. And they were sorrow. They were, have you ever been so tired that, you know, I know the night my brother passed. I was sitting there in his room and I was doing my best to stay awake. And I was just wore out. It had been a long 4 months. But we sat there in that room and my head would nod. But at the last moment, the last breath he drew, I saw him draw it. And after that, I was done. I got in my bed and I was wore out. Physically, mentally, spiritually even. I was worn out. And I got in the bed and I didn't get up for quite a while that day. But these guys were the same way. They could sense that something was going on. Something big was about to happen. They didn't understand what. But it was bearing on them just as much, too. Then he says in verse 46, and said unto them, why sleep ye? Rise and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. You know, many times when someone passes away, I've seen one or two things happen to people. They're either going to draw closer to God, or they're going to be angry at God, and they're going to fall further away from him. Can I urge you that the worst thing to do is falling away from God during that time? I've made that mistake. Can I tell you it's a lonely feeling? It's a lonely feeling. Lonely feeling. Stay close to God. He never leaves you nor forsakes you. Even though we walk away from him, he's still there with us. He's still walking with us. But don't turn your back on him. You need him. You need him to get through what you're going through. Now, in John chapter 11, verse 35, you don't need to turn there because you probably all know this verse. John 11, 35, the Bible says this, Jesus wept. Shortest verse in the Bible, Jesus wept. Mind you, he was 100% man. Knew what he was about to do. This was at the graveside, or gravesite of where Lazarus was born, a good friend of his. You see, in just a few short minutes, he was going to raise Lazarus up out of the grave. He knew that. There have been scholars that have debated what this verse means. I think they simply think it means one of two things. He wept. You know, men say that, well, men aren't supposed to cry. Let me tell you something, that's stupid. If you hold all that in, you're going to bust. You've got to let it out. Women, same thing. I know there's some strong women. I've known some strong women, and you got to let it out. It'll eat you up inside if you don't let it out. My wife will tell you, she'll just cry sometimes. But you feel better afterwards. You got to do it. You got to let it out. That's like poison to your system. If you don't let it out, it's going to just eat you and eat you and eat you. You got to let it out. The other thing I think it means is this. You know, Jesus knew what he was about to do. He knew where... You see, Lazarus didn't die because he was perfectly healthy. Lazarus died, he had an ailment. Jesus knew that when he brought him back, Lazarus would... Yes, he could heal him, yes. Don't get me wrong. Jesus could have healed everything that was wrong with Lazarus. But he knew Lazarus, when he brought him back, was still going to die again. He was going to have to face that sting of death again. He knew that Lazarus was in Abraham's bosom, a place that we call paradise. That doesn't exist anymore since Jesus died on that cross. That was done away with. Those saints are in heaven now. But now, he's there. He's got complete peace. No hurt, no pain, no sorrow. Maybe missing his family, but he's at peace. And he knew that he was going to bring him back from that place. I think he wept because of that. He had to show these people, hey, he had done it times before. He had raised people from the dead. But it was hard. He knew that they were in a peaceful place, a place of rest. You know, I think about this old world today, and I think about, man, I wouldn't bring anybody back from heaven. There's no way I'd bring them back to the mess, the chaos that we have in our everyday lives. I'm not going to bring them back. My nephew earlier this week, or last week, posted something about his dad, and I wish I could have him back. I don't want him back the way he was. His life had been a struggle for many years, actually. But the last four were really a struggle. And I wouldn't want him back. Not in that condition. Not knowing that he's seen Jesus. Knowing that he's walked on that street of gold. I wouldn't bring him back. As others that I've lost in my lifetime, my mom, my dad, wouldn't bring any of them back. They're at peace. And they're in the arms of God. Not going to bring them back. John, in closing. John chapter 14. Very familiar scriptures as well again. Of course, this was just not too long before Jesus would be arrested, beaten, beyond recognition, basically. Hung on a cross and would die. But Jesus spoke these words to his disciples. John chapter 14 and verse 1, it says, "Let not your heart be troubled." You know, that's a bold statement. That's a bold statement in itself. You see, Jesus wasn't troubled that night in the Garden of Gethsemane. He was sorrowful, but he wasn't troubled. He knew where he was going. He knew where he had came from. He knew what heaven looked like. But he told us that. He told them that. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? If you're in this room this morning, watching on TV somewhere, on video, wherever, and you've never accepted Jesus as your Savior, let me tell you this. This is how you get to heaven. Jesus spoke it in verse 6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Friends, I encourage you this morning, if you don't know Jesus this morning as your Savior, from your heart to God's heart, simply bow your head and say, God, I know I'm a sinner. I know Jesus died on that cross for me. I ask that you forgive me of my sins. I want you to be my Lord, my Savior today. Would you do that this morning? From your heart to God's heart. You see, it's not between anyone else but you. No one else knows if you did that or not. Only you know. At some time in your life, have you made that call out to God, asking Him to save you? You see, everything we've talked about this morning, about home going, I have an assurance in my home going. I call out to Jesus to ask Him to forgive me of my sins. Will I be sorry when I leave? Sure, I'll be sorry. I don't want to leave my family or my friends any more than anybody else does, no more than Jesus did. But am I going to go one day? Yeah, I'm going to go one day if the Lord doesn't come back and call me home with all the other Christians. Are you ready to go? Are you prepared this morning? You see, we're not guaranteed tomorrow. God may call and say, hey, I need you so-and-so. If He calls your name, will you go to heaven? You see, there's only two choices. Only two choices in life. There is a heaven and there is a hell. If you don't make the call to Jesus and ask Him for forgiveness of your sins, your destiny is hell. And I'm going to tell you something, it's not paradise. Not even close. And I encourage you, I beg of you this morning, please call out to Him. Maybe you've gotten away from God and you say, you know, it's time for me to turn back to God. It's time for me to draw closer to God. He never left you. But it's time for you to draw closer to Him. The way back is simply the same way, from your heart to God's heart, in a prayer. God, let me come back to you. Let me draw closer to you. Would you do that this morning? We're going to have a song. Every head bowed and every eye closed in the room. Nobody's looking around. If you need to come, I'll be glad to speak with you.